Good morning. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Amid a spike in homicides since the Baltimore riots in April, Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake earlier this week pointed to a bright spot in efforts to reduce violence in the city. Safe Streets, an effort of the Baltimore City Health Department, which hires mostly ex-offenders to stop violence in four Baltimore neighborhoods. It claims its success in reducing homicides in those areas. The Cherry Hill site, where Safe Streets works, has not had a fatal shooting in a year.
With the Safe Streets model, the health department is using an innovative strategy to deal with homicide almost like you would a contagious disease. You know, you interrupt it from spreading. And that's what these street teams are doing. They are violence interrupters.
That was Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake. We wanted to understand what Safe Streets interrupters are doing right and whether it could bring peace to gun-ravaged areas of the city. So with me in the studio is Greg Marshburn, an outreach supervisor for Safe Streets at its Mondawmin site in West Baltimore. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And also with me is Dante Barksdale, an outreach coordinator for Safe Streets. Welcome.
How are you? Good morning.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
Greg Marshburn, you work in the Mondawmin area where the violence erupted in April. You haven't had any recent murders in the area in which you work, right?
Not in 73 days.
Okay. But I understand you have mediated more arguments than usual since the riots.
Our average mediations is 21 to 25, but during the month of the riots, we had 42.
And what kind of arguments are we talking about?
Over merchandise that was taken from the riots. You know, the sale of it, the price is more than what they think it should be, and they think it should be less. So since you don't want to sell it to me for the price I want, I'm going to rob you for it.
And these are situations that you assess could escalate into a shooting?
Very well, because it's a respect factor. See, if I allow you to rob me for anything, then anybody think they can also. So I have to do something because people are watching. So it could very likely turn into a shooting.
So, Dante, give us a picture of what an intervention looks like. I mean, what do you do?
Well, pretty much it has a lot of components to it. The biggest component, I think, is that we have credible messengers. And these credible messengers look like the targeted population that we target. Most of our guys have lived that life out in the street, but now they've come with a new message. But while they were in the street, they lived by a code of honor that allowed them to gain a lot of respect in the streets. Meaning, so when we talk about that kind of stuff, we talk about the characteristics of these high-risk individuals, the things that they respect. They respect guys that haven't been prosecution witnesses, or you might call them rats or whatever. They respect guys that been stand-up guys, haven't been stealing and taking. You know, it's a code of honor in the streets, you know, and people have to recognize that a lot of the stuff that goes on in the street is being governed by sort of like a street code. You know, so our guys go into the community and they try to interrupt and intervene, you know, and try to change these behaviors. So looking at the three components, we go in, we identify and detect violence, and then we go in and we try to interrupt and we treat the high risk, you know, by connecting them to resources and things like that. So that's where the behavior change piece may come in. Now, our interrupters, you know, you don't have guns or bulletproof vests or things like that. But what they do have is their credibility when they were a part of that street element. So they go back in. We have also like workers that are outreach workers, because we have different, you know, different kind of team members. We have violence interrupters. We have outreach workers. Our outreach workers are the guys who bring these high risk individuals to the program.
And that's what you do, right?
This is what my outreach workers and my violence interrupters do. Our violence interrupters have a different kind of thing they do. They connect high risk and key individuals to the program because they don't carry a caseload like our outreach workers do. But what it
go on.
Okay. I said, you
that's Dante Barksdale, an outreach coordinator for Safe Streets here on WIPR Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Greg Marshburn, an outreach supervisor for Safe Streets in its Mondawmin site. And we're talking about efforts to quell the violence in Baltimore. I want us to hear something that Police Commissioner Anthony Batts said at a press conference Wednesday. He said the city's been flooded with narcotics stolen from pharmacies and methadone clinics during the riots.
That amount of drugs has thrown off the balance on the streets of Baltimore. We're seeing the repercussions of these crimes throughout the community. Individuals are getting high to a greater degree and at a greater pace than any time before. Criminals are selling those stolen drugs. There are turf wars happening, which are leading to violence and shootings in our city.
Greg Marshburn, are you seeing the effects of narcotics on the street? You talked about fights over merchandise. Does that include the drugs?
Yeah, it also includes the drugs because you have to look. A lot of people took a lot of drugs. So somebody might sell their drugs faster than somebody else. And now because they took it, they don't have access to get it. But I know this individual still has it, so now we're going to go take it from him. So, again, I can't allow you to take anything from me. I have to do something, and this is how the violence erupts.
So, Safe Streets operates in Mondawmin and Cherry Hill. Where else?
Park Heights and McGovernly Park.
Mm-hmm. I read that Safe Streets altogether covers 1.4 square miles of the city. Pretty compact. Could it be scaled up to work in more areas where we've seen so many shootings?
Yes, it could.
Yes. I think, according to, like, Daniel Webster's evaluation doing, like, I think 2009,
Daniel Webster with Johns Hopkins Center for Youth Violence.
Bloomberg School of Public Health. Yeah, he said his evaluation said that the more mediations that he saw, that the more incidents went down. So, you know, I always pitch this to my guys, and I always give them this vision. I say, what if we had about 150 guys on the ground, maybe about 25 different programs?
About how many guys do you have on the ground now?
Right now we have about
28.
Okay, so you're talking about
six times as many sites.
So I was thinking, you know, these guys are credible messengers. These are guys that can go into the community and get information that the police can't get and other folks can't get because of relationship. Our guys grew up in those neighborhoods. Our guys committed crimes in those neighborhoods. They went to prison from those neighborhoods. They returned back to the neighborhoods, most of them, but they have a new message. So the relationship with the community is the bigger thing. They know the clergy. They know the community members, the older folks. They know the younger folks. So there's a message being spread that violence is not normal. So when you go into a neighborhood and you implement a Safe Streets program, what you're trying to do is change the behavior and the culture of that neighborhood with individuals from that particular neighborhood who have the respect and the credibility of that neighborhood.
Okay, we're talking, if we're talking about, could this be scaled up?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not naive. I know there's not a shortage of guys in Baltimore who have done time. You've both done time, right?
Yes, ma'am.
But it doesn't seem to me obvious that there is a big supply of ex-cons who truly have turned their lives around and can be, as you say, credible messengers, but reliable messengers of this message.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, Greg, are there enough of you out there to do more than is being done?
It's definitely enough of us out there. And sometimes when we get individuals, this program changed my life. So sometimes a person may be straddling the fence, but once they get in this program and they buy in and tie into what we're about, their whole makeup changes, meaning that we have an individual that, see, because, you know, we all was followers at one point in our life, and I decided myself to follow somebody that was going somewhere instead of somebody that wasn't. So as a result, I have now somebody following me. And saying that, this individual left alone what he was doing. He got one job. He got another job. He go to school for social work. So this person went from being one of the worst in the in the neighborhood to the individuals, the older people being so glad that he works for us now, because they felt as though he was the worst in the neighborhood and he was going to die out there, to this program changing his life. And now he's a beacon for other individuals like himself and that grew up with him. So it's never a shortage of people. What is a shortage of is awareness, and a lot of people don't know about us in these other areas. And once they find out, then they'll start wanting this program for themselves.
If safe streets were expanded, given the narcotics on the street right now and the fewer arrests police are making, what would safe streets be able to do to reduce violence?
Well, we use key individuals. In these areas, right, we go get the worst of the worst that everybody respected. Because these people, the same people that we would get to get people not to do things are the same people that are getting people to do things. So now these same people that was once getting you to do something negative are now getting you to do something positive.
We've got just like a minute left, and I need to ask you about this. How do you think the police should be responding to this spike in shootings? I know you guys don't work with the police. You work with the health department. But.
Right. Well, I really can't speak, you know, to what law enforcement could do, because I'm really not a law enforcement officer. We pretty much know that we need the police, and we need them. You know, when individuals cross the line, you know, the police have to, you know, do their job. Our job is mainly to try to get guys before they get to the line.
Okay.
You know, so we're like, you know, intervention. We're trying to change behaviors and norms and get guys not to use violence to resolve their problems.
From the street where you are, what do you see police doing right now?
Well, I mean, I've seen law enforcement. They're out there doing what they need to do. I see police patrolling and everything. And we can't pretty much like blame stuff on the police, and we can't blame stuff on anything. We have to put the blame where it is. We need education, we need jobs, we need training, and we need interventions to reduce violence.
Anything? A perfect wrap up. I want to thank you both. We're flat out of time.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Right.
And I should say we did reach out to the police department to be part of this conversation. They did not respond. Greg Marshburn is an outreach supervisor for Safe Streets at the Mondawmin site. Dante Barksdale is an outreach coordinator for Safe Streets. More information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Mm. I'm Sheila Cast. It's 88.1.